Have you all signed in? Even if you don't want to speak, we'd like you to sign in. Okay, has everybody signed in? Okay. You don't have to speak, but we wouldn't like to, we're just keeping track of how many people are at each side. That's all.
Let me get Waterloo up here.
Oh, we have Waterloo and good, and Dubuque, and Ottumwa. So, if you just go back and forth, there's Dubuque. Hi, Dubuque.
Dubuque, hello.
Hello. Have you all signed in?
Oh, sorry.
Do we, no.
Signed in, there are four of us right now.
Great, okay. Ottumwa? Have you all signed in?
We have signed in, and there are three of us.
Good, great. Okay, let's go back to Waterloo. How many do we have from Waterloo?
We are 10 here in Waterloo.
Oh, great. And would you all sign in so we know who's there? And then I will call on you also to see if who wants to speak or doesn't want to speak. You don't have to, but we may. Oh, all right, all right. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you to the redistricting committee, or commission, as we're called, the Temporary Redistricting Committee, Commission. I'm Maggie Tinsman. I'm from the Quad Cities, and I'm the chair of the Regional Commission. What we are about, or the purpose of this hearing tonight, is that the Temporary Redistricting Advisory Committee, by law, is asked to hold at least three public forums throughout the state and receive public input concerning the first proposed redistricting plan. And so the commission will then submit a report to the General Assembly of whatever is said here, as well as the three other sites as well. But before we go any further, I'd like to have all our members of the commission introduce themselves as well as the two staff members.
My name is Lance M. Key. I'm an attorney from Sioux City, Iowa. Thank you for coming.
I'm Rose Brown, and I am a city planner from the city of Council Bluffs.
I'm Matt Paul. I'm from Cedar Rapids. It's good to be home again. I live in Des Moines currently and have a public relations firm there.
I'm Eric Turner. I'm an attorney practicing in Des Moines, Iowa. I want to welcome you all here this evening.
And I have a different role here. I'm with the Legislative Services Agency, and my name is Ed Cook. I'm a senior legal counsel with that agency.
And I'm here in Winnesville. I'm a senior computer systems analyst, also with the Legislative Services Agency.
All right, I'd like to just do a quick overview of what the redistricting process is about. I actually am a former state senator, 18 years in the Senate from the Quad Cities, and before that I was a county supervisor in Scott County. I'm now have a consulting firm and do a lot of speaking on human trafficking, I'm trying to get more women to run for the state legislature as well as for Congress. But what we are about today is that the Legislative Service Agency really has fulfilled its duty by presenting a redistricting plan to the legislature and to all of us as well. And it combines both the state legislative districts and the national congressional elected positions. This is Plan 1, and it has, as you know, gone out to the legislature and the rest of us for public comment. So now you are the most important people, because we and the legislature want to hear what you think of the plan. Indeed, This is why we're having a public hearing, is to give people a chance to give their opinion, either yes, you like it, and why, or no, you don't like it, and why. We are holding 4 public hearings instead of 3. We've already had one in Council Bluffs, we've had one in Bettendorf. You're the 3rd one, and we will have our final one tomorrow night in Des Moines. We also will compile all your comments, and we'll make a recommendation ourselves and give that information to all our state representatives and our state senators on April 11th. We will be doing that on Monday. And then we will, they will have 3 days to consider the plan, and then they will vote. They will not be able to amend it, nor will we. They will just vote yes or no. If they vote yes, that's the end of the process. If they vote no, the Legislative Service Agency has 35 days to come up with Plan 2. And then the legislators will look at that plan. They cannot change it at all. They will again vote yes or vote no. If they vote yes, again, that's the end of the process. If they vote no, the Legislative Service Bureau then has another 35 days to have a 3rd plan. And the 3rd plan actually can be amended by the House and the Senate. But those amendments have to be agreed upon so that the majority of the legislature, not majority party, but the majority of the legislature votes yes. If they can't agree on amendments, etc., then it goes to the Supreme Court of Iowa. And only one time have we ever had a 3rd plan, and then the legislature didn't change it at all, just accepted it. In my experience, we voted for the 1st plan once, and for a 2nd plan the next time. I have told people that I don't know of any legislators that want this plan to go to the Supreme Court. So they will vote probably yes or no. We're now going to have maybe a few additional comments from Ed Cook, who just introduced himself as the Senior Legal Counsel from the Legislative Service Agency. Ed?
Sure. My name's Ed Cook. I'm a Senior Legal Counsel with the Legislative Services Agency, and just a little bit about what the Legislative Services Agency is. It's a nonpartisan staffing agency for the legislature. We're not hired by the majority or minority party. We're hired to serve the entire legislature. And 9 years out of 10, what my job normally prevails is dealing with all the various bills and amendments that get introduced in the legislature. We all have certain subject areas that we deal with, and we do with both sides in regards to that legislation. But every 10 years, this is my 2nd time, the Legislative Services Agency has a very unique role in Iowa. And that is that we are responsible for presenting a combined congressional and legislative redistricting plan to the legislature. And so basically that is what we were required to do, and we did do that on March 31st. We presented a plan to the legislature, and all the information about that plan can be found on the legislative website, www.legis.iowa.gov, and there's a link right on the front page that says Iowa Redistricting, and you can go to that link, and there's information about the maps, statistics about the plan, and if you really want to bore yourself, you can actually read what will have to be passed by the legislature, which is a bill which describes basically the congressional districts, which is simpler, which is counties, but also describes all 100 House districts. And believe me, Cedar Rapids has some of the most confusingly named streets in the state. But we certainly describe all those boundaries, and that basically goes to the legislature, and this is what they'll have to take up and deal with. So how do we get here today? Well, the first thing that happened in regards to redistricting happened last April 1st. That's essentially Census Day, when the Census Bureau counts everybody in the United States. And so April 1st, 2010, everybody was counted. You probably received a form in the mail, and you filled that out and sent that in. By the end of last year, what the Census Bureau does is compile all the statistics for each individual state and determines how many representatives for Congress each state is apportioned. And so at the end of the year, we were indicated that we would have 4 members of Congress. We were apportioned 4. But that wasn't all we needed to know. The only thing we found out at that point was that the total population of the state was 3,046,355. And that exact number is very important. What happens next then is that the Census Bureau reports information to all the states kind of on a continual basis, all the way down to kind of a small block level. Kind of your little neighborhood, there may be 3 or 4 or 5 people in that little block, and all those various pieces of geography fill up your precincts, your townships, your towns, your counties. It all fills up, and basically that information is what's necessary for redistricting. Because the basic concept is that every district should have roughly the same number of people in it as every other district, for members of Congress in Iowa, for House and Senate districts. And based on that total number, we knew that the ideal population for a congressional district was 761,589. For a Senate district, 60,927. And for a House district, 30,464. And so once we got that data, then we began the process of doing redistricting. And the standards that we apply are basically spelled out in Iowa's Constitution as well as the Iowa Code. There are no additional requirements or no requirements that are out and above what is in the Iowa Code and the Iowa Constitution. Well, the first important thing is equal population. If you want to have representative democracy, the whole concept is that everybody should have an equal voice. And so every 10 years, we have to adjust districts to reflect the changing population of our state as well as the country. And so the requirement for congressional districts, based on what the U.S. Supreme Court has said, is that they shall be as equal as practicable. What that means in real terms is that our goal is to get the difference between that big number that I mentioned as close to zero as possible. In the first congressional plan, the difference between the largest and the smallest district is only 76 people. For House and Senate districts, we also try to maintain this equal population requirement. And for those districts, the goal is to get each district within 1% of that ideal number. What that means is that every Senate district cannot be more than 609 people above or below that 60,927 people. For House districts, 1% is 304 people, and so that's a number, the range that we can have all 100 districts have to fall within that range. Well, after population, the next most important thing, based on our Constitution and the Iowa Code, is that we respect political subdivisions. For congressional districts, this is spelled out in the Iowa's Constitution, where it says no county shall be split in creating congressional districts. So when you look at the map, it's made up only of counties. We don't split counties for congressional districts. Obviously, that creates a challenge when you only have 99 pieces of the puzzle that have to be combined in such a way as to get the equal population requirement. For Senate and House districts, obviously, counties are too big. And so our goal is to try to keep the number of counties and cities that we split as small as possible. And so we try to maintain smaller counties in one district if we can. Those that are larger that have to be split, we try to keep the number of splits to a minimum. After that, all districts have to be of convenient contiguous territory. We can't have a little piece in Linn County, another little piece in Lee County, or another little piece in Woodbury County making up one district. It has to all connect. Basically, you should be able to walk your district, although I wouldn't recommend it for congressional districts, pretty large. But you have to be contiguous. After that, the districts, and these are all in kind of descending order of importance, so you keep in mind that the population is the most important thing. But the districts also should be reasonably compact in form. And what I tell people is kind of take your glasses off, or it's kind of far away, and you look at the state of Iowa, it looks like a big rectangle. And so the standards basically are that the district should look like squares or rectangles. And we have a couple of tests that we use to determine the relative squareness of each individual district. And so those standards, taken all into account, basically establish congressional and legislative districts. One other requirement that's a little bit unique for Iowa is that we have a fairly substantial nesting requirement. You notice, basically, Senate District 1 is composed of House Districts 1 and 2. And it goes all the way up, so Senate District 50 is made up of House District 99-100. Each Senate district is contains two House districts. What we also do is try to keep all of the legislative districts within each congressional district. Now, obviously, my math is good enough to know that 50 divided by 4 is not an even number. And so we had to cross a congressional boundary to create two Senate districts. And the two Senate districts that cross a congressional boundary, there's a House district on one side and another House district on the other side, is Senate District 26, which is kind of a north-central Iowa. And then the eastern part of Polk County and Jasper County is another Senate district that crosses a congressional boundary. All House districts are wholly contained within a single congressional district. And so that basically is what we do in creating a proposed congressional and legislative redistricting plan. We present it to the legislature. And now is the time for the Temporary Redistricting Commission to hear from Iowans as to their reaction and comments about the plan, which will then be reported to the legislature, and then they will have the opportunity to either accept or reject the first plan. If they reject it, then we kind of go through this process again in regards to proposal number two. But at this point, I'll turn it back to Chairperson Tinsman to conduct the public hearing.
And just quickly, just to tell you what our procedure will be, we need everyone to sign in, as I've mentioned before, including the remote site. And those wishing to speak will be limited to 3 minutes. And if the time remains, after all who've signed up to speak have actually spoken, we will actually recognize people who might not have signed up prior to the hearing if they wish to speak, or even those that might want to make additional remarks beyond what they said the first time. We also are accepting written testimony. The commission will accept written testimony in lieu of oral testimony if it's received prior to the start of the public hearing tomorrow in the evening of April 7th, which is tomorrow, at 7 o'clock. We need to have them by 7 p.m. Tomorrow. Also, though, public comment can still be made via the Iowa redistricting link on the Iowa General Assembly website, which I'll just repeat what that is. It's www.legis.iowa, not abbreviated, but iowa.gov. So that's the process, which is very simple. So we will really start by a call on the first person that would like to speak. Where is it we... Okay. One on each side then. First of all, Norm Stenzenbach, do you wish to speak?
No.
Where's Norm?
He's right there.
Oh, okay. All right. Clark, is it Ricky?
Yes.
Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I sit?
And press the button down.
Right there, and just press the button.
And press the button, hold it down?
Yes.
Okay. I rise to speak today because I want to suggest a new guideline. This guideline is respecting the continuity of a regional corridor or regional center of economic development to the extent that it's practical. In order to facilitate this goal, I suggest a leeway in population inequality of up to 2% for our four congressional districts. This 2% is about 16,000 persons. This leeway would add notable flexibility because many of Iowa's counties have less population than this 2%. I cannot be sure, no one can be sure that having a congressional district boundary in the middle of a economic development corridor such as Iowa City, between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, will hinder future development. But here is an example of one of my concerns. I'm hopeful that someday Iowa City and Cedar Rapids along this corridor will create a plan for sharing and commercial, which includes industrial and retail, property tax. A revenue sharing plan is being used very successfully in a 5-county region that includes the Twin Cities in Minnesota. The significance of such a revenue sharing plan is not known by many folks because many are not aware that much of the interaction between the developers and the owners of commercial property and the taxing authorities and jurisdictions at all levels of government, state, local, federal, are about ways to either reduce or avoid paying the property taxes or receiving some kind of a subsidy. The jurisdictional boundaries between cities and suburbs are often boundaries that mark property tax paying discrepancies. This constant, never-ending interaction between commercial property taxpayers and taxing jurisdictions can be viewed as political. Having the scale and scope of taxing jurisdictions and political jurisdictions as understandable, representative, and user-friendly as possible is the best process for economic development. The goal is a level and inviting playing field. The scale and scope of a jurisdiction or a labor shed or a media market might be another way to think about and define the continuity of an economic development zone or corridor. In summary, I ask the Legislative Services Committee, or agency, and the legislature to recognize the continuity of regional development areas as part of their guidelines, and maybe add some leeway and variation of population to facilitate this goal. The goal would be to foster the optimum level of communication and coordination within all jurisdictional levels in a corridor of economic development. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be William, is it Kiesel?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is William Kiesel, K-E-E-T-T-E-L.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it.
All right, you're fine. Republican of Johnson County. And I want to congratulate the Legislative Service Agency at the outset for having done a wonderfully capable job of avoiding odd-looking districts, avoiding snakes and gerrymanders. The standard of convenient contiguous territory, in my opinion, appears to have been met for the whole state. I have one criticism of the process as it's gone on so far, but it's really a request and is really minor housekeeping consideration. People who have studied the districts really wish they could have maps down to the street level. Apparently, in some urban areas, the degree of mapping available is not sufficient for them to assess all of the possible considerations, and they wish they had more detailed maps. People can purchase software, but it's an expense, and for the sake of transparency, I've been urged to make this point. And it's not a problem with Johnson County. The boundaries in Johnson County are entirely transparent as far as I can see. I will only comment on Johnson County. It looks to me as though that in Johnson County, the consideration of not splitting towns, which requires that Coralville and North Liberty be separated and put in separate districts, dictated the entire rest of Johnson County. And I believe that the Johnson County districts are going to look very similar to what was presented in Plan 1, regardless of how many plans are tried. Because the Coralville North Liberty problem was solved this way, and Iowa City was divided in an entirely natural way. Finally, I tend to agree with the first speaker and recommend, but for a different reason, and recommend that we not make a fetish of precise mathematical equality of the districts. The reason is this. If there's one thing that is probably true, it is that the population of Iowa on census day was not 3,046,355. I had the fortune of running the census for Western Iowa in 1990, and I know some of the difficulties in getting a precise count. It's a precise count according to rules, and there are many ways that both the entire number and partial numbers can be missed. Here's some examples. People who are on vacation and have prolonged their vacation but returned their census forms showing their vacation address. Students who are notoriously mobile, homeless persons who are notoriously mobile. And finally, there are problems at the edges of town. I think if you talk to the mayors and leaders of small towns, you find several instances where areas at the edge of town, either because they were newly annexed and they represented growth, or because of errors in the census mapping process, were miscounted. This was certainly true in 90. Maybe they've solved that problem and there are never any more mistakes to be made. Bottom line is, though, you have to take the numbers with a grain of salt and not make a fetish of them, because you can give some weight to other considerations like keeping communities intact in economic areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think now I'd like to go to Waterloo, if I can, and ask if there is anyone that would like to speak from the Waterloo area.
We have one person, Carmen Halverson.
All right, Mr. Halverson, would you like to... Oh, Ms. Halverson. No, Mr. Halverson.
Mrs.
Mrs., okay.
I would like to commend you for working with numbers. I think you've done a very good job. You started at a very good base. As the old joke goes, the mathematician is asked what's 2 and 2, and they say 4. Ask an accountant what 2 and 2 are, and they say 4, give or take a percentage. Ask an accountant or an economist what it is, and they say, what do you want it to be? But I think in this statement, and the statement is made from Iowa City, I agree with. I think keeping, I'm talking from a volunteer in party politics. What I find is difficult when you have a House seat or a Senate seat and you go down a street and part of that street is in one district, another one in another. If we could take the main thoroughfares through a city and use those for the lines, I think our people know well north, south, east, west of any one street, and it easily defines the district and the candidacy. And I'm wondering also whether or not, when we do this and take note of our elections, and that's why we are probably doing this in for fair in front free elections. Our base population has to understand that process. And what my experience has been that the general public doesn't pay attention to the political arena until 2 or 3 weeks before the election. And then great sums of money is spent on elections. Our county courthouses have a lot of jurisdictions within their ballot printing. And I'm not sure, I mean, that might be something that you check, see how many ballots are printed in, say, Blackhawk County. There are an astronomical amount, at least it seems like a mountain of them. And then whether or not, if we make these lines very clearly defined, does it help to eliminate some of the expense on re-election campaigns? I'm noting in Wisconsin this judgeship that it was just on the ballot. It was quoted in excess of $3 million to elect a judge. Can that be a representative government when we are talking about electing people in those terms? I maintain there's power in the precinct, and if we walk the precinct, we talk to people in the precinct, it shouldn't cost $1 million for any one campaign. But that's what I'm looking at, and if money is tough, money is tight, are we kind of looking in the wrong direction when we draw these lines every which way for our public has trouble defining them with the time they have to explore it? Iowa, I have found, has seasons. And I think we have to respect those seasons. They just, when the crop is to be in the field, that's where the attention is. If it's Mother's Day, that's where their attention is. So when we lack their attention until we get to about two or three weeks before an election. And that's my point in looking at making those lines, making them as black like as they can. Get rid of this near Raymond, if you look at Blackhawk County, it looks as though it's a toothbrush. And it's very hard to define those areas and tell somebody your candidate, because they have trouble worrying about those things. Anyway, that's my comment, and I thank you for your time. I think your math basis is a great place to start, and I agree that there is error, and there could be error in your numbers. So I guess I'm going to think like an accountant. Let's give us 2 or 3% to draw a straighter line. The other one I comment about is Chickasaw County, as it jettis into another district. Can we draw that line straight up? Can we trade off someplace? I thought I'd sit down and do the numbers with the math. There was a game out, and it's beautiful. Whoever came up with it, I thank them. Anyway, you have a good day to start. What is the purpose of me doing this? How does it work? Who's going to be using it? And I guess that's my point. As far as worrying about our congressional candidates being in the same district, that isn't what we're really looking at. We can work that out. But it's 10 years we're going to be using these lines for very few. And I think that's a long range plan. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Colin. And now let's go to Atumwa. Atumwa, do you have anyone that would like to speak?
Yes. My name is Jean Dellen, and I have a question about the goal was to make things convenient and contiguous, and there appears to be a small little pink square in the midst of all that blue in Representative 81. In 80 and 81.
Just a second, Jane. I'm going to ask the Legislative Service Agency to respond to that.
Right.
On our map, it looks like it is not contiguous. That may be simply because the lines are thicker than what they need to be.
That would be correct. Basically, what we're following there, I believe, is the corporate limits of the city of Atumwa. And it is contiguous. It's not a little island. There is area between the township line and the city boundary. And it's probably just a factor of the smallness that you have to get to with that map. And then the lines just kind of got big enough so it looks like there's a little island inside, but it is contiguous. And one thing you can look at if you want to get it.
Thank you. I have one other question.
All right.
It appears that the city is split, Atumwa is split in half by the river. Is that correct?
No. Atumwa is wholly contained in one legislative district. One thing you can look at, and for everybody here that wants to see a little more detail in each individual district map, if you go to the legislative website and go to the maps, there's a link to individual district maps, and you can click on District 80, 81, or whichever one that you might want, and I think it has a little better detail in regards to exactly where those lines are. And so you might, for some of these rural areas, it might be a better way of kind of get a better feel for exactly where those lines are drawn on those particular districts. And I would recommend going to those individual maps and looking at those.
All right, Jane, is that it?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let us now go to Dubuque. Is there someone in Dubuque that would like to address the commission?
Yes, and that would be Janet Durham.
All right, Janet.
I was concerned about the man earlier that was talking about the regional corridor of economic development, and I'm wondering if he realizes, though, if that was split in between, into two districts, you actually get two representatives to be pushing for your development or your input into the state legislature. So I don't think that's as big of a problem by having it split.
All right, anything else you'd like to say, Janet? That is a good point.
Okay, we have one other person that would like to talk here. Is the proper time or not?
No, the time would be good, right now.
Hi, R.R. Stewart. Also on the issue, again, to refer back to the Twin Cities example, there are seven counties in the regional sharing, which was set up in 1971. And now there's 15 to 25 counties in the metro area. And of the five representatives cover that metro area. So since he brought up the Twin Cities, I'd like to point out that not having the same representative has not seemed to be a problem in terms of having a metro-wide regional development fund.
Would you tell us your name once again?
R.R.S. Stewart.
Thank you. Anyone else in Dubuque that wishes to say anything?
I guess not.
Okay, all right. I'll come back to Cedar Rapids and see if there can someone that maybe hasn't signed up or has signed up but said they didn't want to necessarily speak, if we can cajole you to give us your opinion of what you think, whether this is a good plan or not a good plan. Anyone else here in Cedar Rapids area? I realize you're not all from Cedar Rapids, but from the Cedar Rapids area, including Johnson County right now. Yes. Could you just give us your name?
My name is Chris Dahl.
Chris?
I also would like to commend the Legislative Services Committee for doing a wonderful job with redistricting this time. I think the fact that you managed to get congressional districts that are within 76 individuals is quite remarkable. And I certainly hope that the legislature will pass this plan on its first vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else here in Cedar Rapids area that would like to speak? Well, we can go. Yes.
I'll just put a little more detail.
Okay, go back to the microphone so they can all hear you. We can hear you, but.
The point about two representatives instead of one is very well taken, and the idea of this Minneapolis community has many representatives is also well taken. It's a matter of change and where you're coming from in the historical pattern of development between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids with the I-80 corridor being a powerhouse now, and Cedar Rapids kind of adjusting to that. Part of my concern, which is a bit local then, but to the specific point of the significance of a 2% leeway or 16,000 people, you need some context and overall perspective to try and see whether that's significant or not. What's happening by us losing one of our congressional representatives is that we're going from 585 persons before to 760 now, which is a 30% increase. And we've only had maybe a 9-10% increase in population. So this idea of getting economic development up to speed with the rest of the nation is just critical. Since the 60s, historically, Iowa had 7, then 6, then 5, then 4. It's a pattern that we just can't continue. I mean, if you think of earmarks, we might have had a loss of 20% of the earmarks because of our loss of a congressional district. Thank you.
Thank you, Clark, very much. Just to comment a little bit about our population, you know, we did grow as a state over 100,000 people. Unfortunately, well, I shouldn't put it that way, other states, meaning Texas, California, Arizona, Nevada, grew more. And that's what happened in our configuration, indeed, why we lost a congressman. There is only one state in the nation that totally lost population. And I was surprised when I found out what it was. It is Michigan. Michigan lost 55,000 people, and a lot of them from Detroit. But anyway, we are not a loser of population. We did lose a congressman because of the great increase of population in other states. And as you know, we have 435 Congress people, and that's all we're going to get unless we change the Constitution of the United States. I would like to ask anyone else, though, anyone else here like to say anything?
We've had some new people come up. Anyone who didn't get to sign in, would you like to?
Yes. Would you like to speak?
Well, I'm sorry that I wasn't here, and you may have addressed this question already. So,
but would you mind just going to the end of your row and press that down so that everybody at the remote sites can hear you? And give us your name, please.
You may have addressed this question already, but my question to you is, here in the Cedar Rapids area, I noticed that the districts that you have drawn legislatively tend to compact members of one party versus another. And I realize that, you know, this is a computer model, wouldn't you think it would be more prudent to be able to have members of people who have registered as members of both parties within any particular district? The system that is in place now, at least for the districts that touch this county, Lynn County, are primarily either strongly Democratic or strongly Republican. Shouldn't there be more of a balance?
Yes.
Sure. My name is Ed Cook, Legislative Services Agency. I'm with the agency that drafts the proposed legislation. One of the key things about Iowa's law is we are specifically prohibited from looking at incumbent addresses, party registration, election returns. We can't look at that information. And so unless we'd be able to look at it, we can't account for it. And so it has no bearing whatsoever on how the lines are drawn. Basically, in dealing with Cedar Rapids, we look for natural boundaries. We try to maintain the city, to split the city any more times as possible. We don't look at any political information whatsoever, and we're prohibited from doing so.
Well, I can appreciate that, but at the same time, if you look at the districts as they're drawn, they follow the same, they draw similar patterns as they did, you know, over, 30 years ago, when they were politically drawn. I mean, they seem to tend to favor incumbents over challengers, and even in an area that's relative growth like Cedar Rapids, and they tend also to include members who are incumbents in districts which would favor them politically. So I can't see how you're balancing both of those statements together when, if you're not considering political reality yet, it still affects them politically, and they're still in a favorable position.
I guess there's nothing that we can say further on that because the Legislative Service Agency does not take into effect where anybody lives. They don't know where anyone lives. They don't know what they represent. and they don't know their political party. So,
so they have a block, essentially.
Madam Chairman, let me just add this comment, that it's fascinating to me to hear the analysis that you have been able to give it because you live here, because it's correct that we haven't been allowed to look at any political data, registrations, voter performance, incumbent addresses, and it turned out that way. What you're seeing in the map that you see is that people always talk about how they vote with their feet. Well, this is the one time where voting with your feet is exactly what happens. And what you're looking at are the returns from voting with your feet in the last 10 years. So it's interesting and fascinating to us to hear from you that it's turned out the way it did, but it's purely accidental from the standpoint of the map drawings.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. We've had another person come in to the room here. Would you like to make any comments?
No.
All right. Would you sign in? Also, we need to have these two people sign in. Let's go to our satellite areas just in case anyone has decided they wish to speak. Waterloo, is there anyone still at Waterloo that wishes to speak?
Madam Chair, we have no one here that wishes to speak, but at some appropriate time, would you be willing to give highlights of the other meetings that you've held?
Yes, we'll be glad to do that. Well, let's wait till the end and we will do that. All right, let's go to Ottumwa. Ottumwa, do you have anyone there that wishes to speak?
Yes, I will.
Could you just give us your name?
David Sells. I think we should all be thankful for the process that's used to determine these districts. Apparently, if you look at the political scholars have to say, Iowa has one of the very best systems. I think it behooves us to be thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we will now go to Dubuque. Dubuque, do you have anyone there that would like to speak now?
Well, just one last comment. Mary Ray Bray. And as usual, everything is fine in Dubuque. As far as our part of the state is concerned, it's a logical kind of a layout. And most of all, just so much appreciate this system of drawing the districts, comparing them to other states, where the gerrymandering goes on like crazy. It's just so wonderful to be able to be here and have an opportunity as citizens of the state to make comments on this. But right now, although there in our area, there is a couple of senators, state senators, who will be competing against one another and have to work that out. Nonetheless, it overall makes good sense to us. And again, we appreciate the efforts that you folks and the Bureau puts in, the Legislative Service puts in to coming up with this, because certainly to me is far superior to any other state.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we're back to Cedar Rapids area. Again, I'll ask if anyone has had second thoughts and maybe now does want to speak. Okay, well, let's, I'd like to call on Ed Cook to tell us, if you will explain the two other public hearings that we've had and what the gist of that was.
Sure, this is the third public hearing. If you want to find out exactly what went on in the other public hearings, we are putting an audio link to all the comments made in those public hearings on that legislative website. So you can go to that and listen to the comments that were made. We will also have a summary of the comments that we receive, as well as the written ones that we'll attach to the report that will be submitted to the legislature. And you know, we had comments in Council Bluffs concerned about the congressional district line and the state senate district. Bettendorf was largely positive about the plan, and we've heard the comments today. But if you want to see exactly what everybody had to say, I think the thing to do would be just go to the source and listen to it online, and you can find out what your fellow Iowans had to say about this redistricting plan.
I guess I would now ask if any of the commissioners would like to say anything about anything. Well, not anything, but about this process.
To the extent that it's interesting for the person who asked about the other hearings, I think that I echo what Ed said. Please do look for yourself, because that's the most accurate report of what's on the website. I would say from my personal observation as a commission member that in Council Bluffs there was dissatisfaction with the plan, primarily I think because it represented change. And it was a change that appears to be, we don't know outcomes yet because things can change, but it appears that they would not have an opportunity for the same Congress person representing them, and they had the other negative comment was they were concerned about being linked with Polk County and losing political influence as a result. And those factors, of course, are not factors that we are allowed to consider under the Iowa statute, but that was the flavor of the Council Bluffs hearing. In Davenport, we had kind of the opposite. Almost everyone who spoke were very complimentary of the plan and having it approved. There were some local issues that had to do with satellite polling opportunities in the city of in the Quad City area that was discussed, and I think that ended up being the focus, because all of the testimony before that was in favor of this plan and complementary of it. And you have heard what's been said here, so I believe you're kind of having a good sense of where the commission is now. We're happy to be here today. We're happy to report this to you. You need to know how important your testimony is. We will be called on yet this week to collectively as a commission provide advice to the House and Senate under the Golden Dome as to whether we recommend approval or disapproval. It's not our whim that we get to report. It's our perception and analysis of your public testimony that it must form the basis of our recommendation. So I want to thank all of you at the remote sites as well as here in Council Cedar Rapids for coming, because we did need to hear from you in order to do our next step in the process. Thank you.
I was just going to ask real quick.
Would you just give us your name?
Yes, my name is Adam Wright. I'm from Cedar Rapids.
Okay, Adam, we just need you to go to a microphone here. Yeah. What is your last name, Adam?
I'm Wright.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. You were
Hello, my name is Adam Wright. I'm from Cedar Rapids, and I just had a question regarding the website that you guys are pertaining to. If you could give us that web link address again.
All right, it is www.legis.iowa.gov. And there's lots of information on there, and we urge you to watch it. Even I'm not very computer savvy, but I'm getting better. When you have to watch this, because it really is good. Yes.
And that gets you to the Iowa General Assembly webpage. There's a lot of stuff on there, but there is an Iowa redistricting link that's on there, and you click on that, and then you'll find all the information. There's stuff under the commission, the maps, and the individual maps, and the testimony. So kind of have to search to find the link, but we have it in several places right on that front page, and so that's where you need to go look for it.
Or if you just type in Google, if you just type Iowa Legislative Assembly.
I was just going to add, you can also make written comments directly there, and you can also read the written comments that other people across the state have submitted, and you can see what day they've shown up on there. So that's another way to provide input.
Yes, you have a question?
Yes, sir. Very quick, specific question. If you look at the map, there's Worth County and Chickasaw County. And when you think of trying to make a square and things contiguous, they seem to stick out a little bit in extremes. And I wonder if that's an example of the trade-off between trying to get population right or accurate versus keeping districts more square. And you see what I mean, how Worth County kind of points in one direction and Chickasaw the other direction. That seems to be the biggest extreme in the whole place, the whole map.
Mm-hmm. Ed, do you want to say anything?
Well, it's a very time-consuming process of trying to develop 100 house districts that all fit together, that you can create two Senate districts out of the two house districts. What you can find in that particular Senate district is that what we're trying to maintain, obviously with equal population requirements, is that we keep counties whole. And so essentially that Senate district is composed of five whole counties. And this is the one district that did cross a congressional boundary. And so the House district is on one side of kind of that county boundary, and the rest is on the other. If you didn't cross there, then that top district would have to pretty much extend all the way to the Mississippi, because you'd have to, you can't, otherwise you didn't cross the congressional boundary there. And so we selected that as one of our crossover Senate districts.
Would population and leeway help you with that kind of concern, though?
The statute's very clear that we have to get each district within 1%, and if it goes beyond that, the legislature has the burden of justifying in court why it was excessive.
Any other commissioners like to say anything?
I'll say one thing. I'm speaking for myself, not the commissioners present, although I imagine they might agree with this. As you might expect, we drive to all of these different sites, and I've had the opportunity to sit in the van with the Legislative Service Agency personnel that were responsible for this plan. And I'm a lawyer by training and obviously a natural skeptic as a result, and I want to find out, really, how does this thing work? How does this come to fruition so that we look at it, you look at it? And I have to tell you that after having spent, I don't know how many hours in a vehicle driving across the state with those representatives, I have nothing but the utmost confidence that this is done totally in accordance with the Iowa statute, and there are no inappropriate considerations that have gone into the process. And as a commissioner, that gives me enormous faith in the process. Now, I may not agree entirely with the plan in terms of how it ended up, but I can say this for absolute certainty, it was done strictly in accordance with the statute without any other inappropriate consideration. And I think all of us as Iowans should take great pride in that. We have some civil servants that can accomplish that task.
Thank you. Anyone else? Can I interest in saying yay or nay for this particular plan? Okay, I'll call once again about Dubuque. I understand no one else wants to speak, is that correct? Dubuque?
We appear to be satisfied with the plan.
All right, thank you. And Ottumwa?
Yeah.
Anyone else want to speak?
Here.
Looks like Ottumwa has left. So I think the answer is no. Anyone in Waterloo still want to speak?
We are complete.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're back here in person with the Cedar Rapids region. I ask one more time, can we hear from any of you that haven't spoken or even have spoken before? Otherwise, I guess... Okay, good.
Do you anticipate this is the plan that's going to happen?
We do not know. We truly do not know. We have another hearing in Des Moines, and we expect a big crowd, there. And so we don't know. That's one thing about not being a legislator. We don't make that decision. And I think I've learned from experience, you don't anticipate what that decision is, or you run into trouble. So I don't think we will anticipate right now.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Waterloo here.
Yes.
If it goes to Plan 2, will there be another round of open hearings?
That's a good question, and the answer is no, there will not be. They will use the comments from the first set of public hearings to analyze the second plan. Any other questions?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Even though there are no public hearings, I could go to Mike, but this is administrative. Even though there are no public hearings, will there be a web opportunity to comment on the website?
I believe.
On a subsequent plan.
Well, I think you could add, I'm not sure there would be the vehicle that there is through the LSA for comment, but you could certainly contact your representatives electronically, and that would probably be the most efficient way. There would be 35 days for another map to be redrawn, again following the same process. So during that period, you know, you certainly could contact members of the legislature.
I think that's true. Any other questions? All right, I move the hearing adjourned. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Thank you all
for coming.
Thank you. Very nice.
So did you say that you stay? Glenn, what happens tomorrow after the meeting? Do we stay? Do we need to do anything? Or do you guys will just put the opinion comments together?
Well, we thought maybe we would. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah. We can do whatever you want.
We thought we would stay after the meeting, and yes, the comments will all be.
Excuse me, we have a student that needs you to sign as chairperson.